Good morning, everybody. I'm so thankful to see you brave souls this morning. Decided to go out in the snow and the cold, our first big snowfall of the year. I remember I was telling Lynn this morning, I woke up and I saw how much snow was on my car, and I was like, do I really want to preach this morning? And I was like, no, I do. I really do. But it's so good to see you all. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I'm the location pastor here. And so very thankful to be gathering with you all this morning to worship the Lord for a little bit, to hear from his word. And I just need to address something very sad happened yesterday. For the first time in 4 years, the Michigan Wolverines lost to Ohio State. And it is the first time since I started preaching. My very first sermon was the day after Michigan's win over Ohio State, and so it's the first time in 4 years that they lost. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, just be praying for your pastor this morning. His heart is broken, so I'm going to need some help a little bit this morning. But we are finally coming to an end of our Romans sermon series. This has been an incredible series. It's my first series as the location pastor here. And so as I just reflect on the last 5 or so months, I am so excited to have met so many wonderful people, to see the way the Lord's moving and working, all the wonderful things that have happened in the last 5 months. And it just makes me excited for what God's going to continue to do here in Walled Lake, for how he's going to continue to move through us and our ministries and our prayers and the sermons. It's just been so amazing. But this is the longest series the River has ever done. One of my favorite pastors, John Piper, I like to kind of go to him sometimes and see, like, what did he preach on with this topic? And I went to Romans 16 to see some sermons he had. They went through Romans for 7.5 years. So you're welcome that we did not do that for 7.5 years. But we're coming to an end of one of the longest series, and we close out this amazing letter with a doxology. We end this letter with a time of reflection from Paul. Now, doxology, if you don't know what it is, I believe kind of in the contemporary Christian world, we've kind of lost what doxologies are. In more liturgical settings and kind of more formal church, they still have these sort of things. But a doxology is a short hymn or phrases of words that just reflect on God's glory. It gives praise to God, worship to God. And honestly, I wish it was something that we spent more time doing, where we just took a minute to reflect on the ways that God deserves all the glory, for the things that he's doing in our life, for the praise and worship that we want to bring to him for all that he has done. And within Scripture, we see all forms of doxologies. There's no cookie-cutter way, but sometimes they just burst out of nowhere, right? And we've seen it in Romans 11:36, where he says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." As we know in Romans 11, he's explaining through some very difficult concepts. He's talking about the relationship of Israel and the Gentiles, all these different things. He just stops and says, "To God be the glory." Sometimes at the end of a letter, like here in Romans 16 or in Philippians 4, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so I think for Paul, as he has just penned 16 chapters, a deep, lengthy letter explaining through the gospel, deep theological truths, the wisdom of God, all the ways that he has brought salvation to the world, what that means for us as believers, how we live out this love with each other, with our world, with unbelievers. I think as the cherry on the top, he just says, we need to take a moment. We may not understand all of what has been written. We know it is a deep, long letter, but we just need to take a moment and bring glory to our God, bring praise and worship to who he is. And so this morning, I'm thankful to have a sermon like this because I think it's good for us as a church, as a body of believers, to take time, to take moments, to stop in the midst of busy seasons, to reflect on all the ways that God is deserving of the glory in our life, all the praise and worship that we need to bring to him, to remember who it is for that we do everything. Right? We talk about Thanksgiving at the jail. Who is the Thanksgiving at the jail for? It's to bring God glory. Why do we do kids ministry? It's to bring God glory. Why do we sing praises? It's to bring him glory. And we're going to reflect on that for a little bit this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into the word. Lord, we love you. And I just thank you for this opportunity and this time to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, that your spirit would open hearts and minds here, and that we would be a church, a group of people today that can just bring all the glory and praise and worship to you. Please help me in this endeavor, Lord. We love you. Praise all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 16, finishing up this letter, the last few verses of Romans. And I just want to read this doxology in its entirety, and then we'll go back through and look at it. But starting in verse 25, he ends the letter with this. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we get this beautiful doxology at the end of this letter where Paul is just taking a moment to ascribe the glory that he's feeling for God. And in the first verse, or I believe in these verses, we see three main things that Paul is wanting to bring worship to God for. There's three things within this doxology that Paul wants to single out. As he wraps up this letter, what are the ways that he can almost summarize the beauty of what he's described within the rest of Romans? And the first thing he starts with is the gospel. And so in verse 25, he says, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking about his gospel being separate from other people's gospels. No, he's talking about the gospel that he preaches, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Jesus came to this world and lived a perfect life on our behalf, died the death that we were supposed to die, rose again, and offers that as a free gift of grace to all who will believe. He is saying, now, according to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. The very first thing that he does as he's talking about bringing praise to God, worship to God, is he runs back to the gospel. And I think it calls back to even Romans chapter 1. We studied all of those weeks ago where he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We saw at the beginning of this letter, Paul's main focus, his heart for ministry, the main reason he's writing this letter is that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. There is nothing more important than that. There's nothing worth studying more than that. That is the most important thing. And as I was writing through this and preparing this message, I thought about when I first started really following the Lord. And the gospel was real to me, and I knew my sins were forgiven. I was so thankful. My life was changed. I went through this period where I was like, you know what? I really want to just know more about God. I want to go deeper. Right? I know the gospel is amazing, but I want to go deeper in my faith. I want to study Calvinism and Arminianism. I want to study the end times, the rapture. Let's go to Revelation. Right, I was that like annoying guy in Bible study that was like, why are we studying John? Let's do Revelation. Let's do all of this. And I was just missing the point of what the entire word is about, of what all of Christianity is about, what every single aspect of my walk with Christ is about. I heard this quote before. I thought it was so amazing. It says, the gospel is not the diving board off of which we jump into the pool of Christianity. It is the entire pool itself. The gospel is everything. The gospel isn't just your starting point for Christianity. Right? It's not like we just preach the gospel to those who are lost, and then for us who are believers, we do the deeper stuff. No, the gospel is every aspect of our walk with the Lord. There is no going deeper than the gospel. And I would encourage you, if when you hear about the gospel and you go, oh, come on, pastor, can we do something more? I would encourage you to check your heart. Because I was in that spot before where I was like, I want the deeper stuff. I want something more important. That's wrong for us to think that way. Because the gospel is everything. Our relationship with the Lord, it changes everything. When we look at the Old Testament, it's all pointing towards the gospel. And then we get the accounts of Jesus' life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're all about how Jesus fulfilled the gospel. And then the New Testament, it's reflecting on the gospel. All of that truth is permeated through what Jesus did for us. We need to run back to what Acts 4:12 said. The apostles talking with the Jews, proclaiming the good news, trying to save people. They said this, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there's nothing more important. Not only that, we are strengthened through the gospel. That's what Paul says here. He's ascribing glory to God. He says, now to him who's able to strengthen you through the gospel. And so we see the gospel is not our starting point. It's not the gun that starts the race. It's everything. He doesn't say he strengthens you through other means. It's through the gospel. It makes me think about this past week. I had the opportunity to go to Thanksgiving at the jail. In the last 4 or 5 years, I've been going there and I've been able to preach on Thanksgiving morning. I love it so much. It is, I'll tell you, it is a tiring morning. It's hard because you're preaching to a bunch of, like, a room that's just cinder blocks and your voice is just ate up by dead space. But I love the opportunity. And I love what Grant said where we are ministering almost, you know, to the Lord. He says that. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. But I have the opportunity to go there every Thanksgiving. I love it so much. But after one of the times when I was preaching, I had an inmate come up to me. You know, and he asked for prayer. And he's like, you know, thank you for being here. It was amazing. I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, what can I pray for you for? And he goes, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe, I follow him, but I really struggle. I don't know what to do. How do I go beyond my belief in Jesus? And how do I grow in my walk? How do I, you know, understand forgiveness, all these sort of things? And I told him, I'm like, don't go past Jesus. Run back to the gospel. Right? When you're struggling thinking about how can I be forgiven, run back to the gospel. When you sin and make mistakes, run back to the gospel. Because the gospel is not just there for you at the start. The gospel is there for you every single step of the way. And I was trying to tell him, you know, we are strengthened through the gospel, as Romans 16 says. When you are weak and tired, you need to run back to what Jesus did for you. It's everything. I started thinking about that. It's what gives us a relationship with God. I mean, think about that for a moment. When you think about your relationship with God, the God of the universe, it is there because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. There are going to be times in your life when you don't feel close to God, when you don't feel strong. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it? Our feelings are going to lead us astray. And so what do you do in that moment? You don't rely on your feelings. You rely on the truth. And the truth of God's love is firmly fixated and established in the gospel. When you have a question about your relationship with God, you go to what Jesus did, not what you do. Right? I make mistakes all the time. I am always struggling. And if I were to rely on my own feelings, what I do, I have no chance in my walk with the Lord. We need to run back to what he did for us. Run back to the gospel. Be strengthened through that news. It's what gives us the Holy Spirit. Right? When we think about this holiday season and gifts. There is no greater gift than the Holy Spirit. That God comes to live with us. Comes to make his home with us. That's because of the gospel. That's the greatest truth we have. It's what forgives us and frees us. So when you're struggling with that sin, when you're struggling with the mistakes you made in life, with all the times you fell short, with when you hurt your loved ones or hurt a stranger or didn't do what you were supposed to do, and that shame weighs on you, and your heart is heavy, and there's that pit in your stomach, what do? You rely on all the ways you've tried to follow God? Man, I've been going to church for this long, so I should be good. I attend this many Bible studies. I pray this often. If you rely on your works, you're never going to be strengthened through that. You need to run back to Jesus. What forgives me? It's not anything I do. I'm not deserving of it. In fact, every day I'm not deserving of it, but Jesus died for me. Jesus forgave me. Are you feeling hopeless? The gospel provides hope. Feeling lonely? Again, especially in the holiday season, if you've lost loved ones and you see that seat that's sitting there and it's empty, and you go, man, I wish that person could be with me. My heart is broken. Run back to the gospel. Shameful? The gospel provides forgiveness. Need to feel loved? The gospel shows the greatest love imaginable. Are you tired? Because following the Lord sometimes is very difficult. Serving is difficult. Loving people is difficult. Let me be the first one to tell you that if you haven't experienced it yet. People are difficult, but we love anyways. Are you tired? Are you thinking, man, how can I continue to love my family member who just keeps rejecting me? Who just won't follow Jesus? What do I do? I feel like I've tried everything. I am tired. What do I do? You run back to the gospel. You be strengthened by the news that Jesus gave you new life. Jesus forgave you of all your sins. The price that you were supposed to pay, he took that debt and he threw it into the sea. You are forgiven of everything. That is what strengthens us. The gospel is what allows the saint to say, I have new life. What better news is there than that? What truth is more strengthening than that? Man, our lives were hopeless. Before Jesus, think about who you are. I think of myself. I was hopeless. My only destiny was eternity in hell separated from God. The only thing that I could do for my life was make it worse. Yet Jesus came. Yet Jesus loved me enough. Jesus loved you enough. We're going to reflect on it for the next few weeks in the Christmas season. We're going to reflect on the idea that the infinite became an infant. That the God of the universe was there from eternity's past, who created everything, came to this world and was a baby. Walked earth. Was made like us, sympathizes with us, knows our weaknesses, yet was without sin. You want to be strengthened in your walk? You want someone who gets you, who's able to help you, who knows what it's like and knows how to get through it and provide the grace for it? Jesus is the one who does that. We run back to the gospel. That is what it means to be strengthened through it. Then he continues on the rest of verse 25 and 26, the second thing of which he ascribes glory to the Lord. He says, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God. Now again, I think this part calls back to Romans 11, that verse I said at the beginning, right? He's talking about the wisdom of God, and he just goes, oh, how unsearchable are your ways, how inscrutable are your judgments. When he's thinking about how salvation is played out in the world, Paul just stops and goes, who can understand this, Right? Who is wise enough to make a plan like this? Who is able to do something like this except God? Paul here, he is bringing glory to God for his wise plan, for how wonderful his providence is, for the mystery that is so hard for us to comprehend, but how God has worked it out intricately in so many people's lives. Brought so many sinners from death. That in alone is unimaginable, right? How can a wretch like me be saved? How can a just God accept me in his sight? How can a just God call me friend and come to live with me? How is this possible? It's the mystery of the Lord. It's his divine plan of salvation. It's his wisdom. And Paul here, he's bringing glory to that. So he starts with how we're strengthened through the gospel. And then he takes an aspect of God's wisdom and just praises it for a moment. A couple weeks ago, I celebrated my 26th birthday. I'm now such an old man. I'm closer to 30 than I am to 20. So old. Kidding, it's just a joke for you guys, I know. But I was reflecting on life, and Jasmine and I, we were just sitting there. And although I will say I do feel like an old man, it's ironic that I say that, but that week I bent down and hurt my back, and I was like, are you serious? It's already begun? This is unbelievable. But we're reflecting on life. Me and her were just sitting in the living room, and Cade was sleeping, thankfully. He's nice and calm and relaxed, and one of the few times we had peace in our house, right? So we were just chatting. And I was just reflecting on God's work in my life. And just all we could just keep saying is, God is the wisdom of God to work about all these different things. I said, what would my life have been like if I had actually gone and played football in college? But where me and her wouldn't have been together. Wouldn't be at this church. Wouldn't have our beautiful son. I thought about one of the hardest times in my life when I had my son in high school. But I thought, what would have happened to me if I didn't have that happen to me? Where would I be? Thought about when we met each other at camp. Where would you have been if you didn't come to the Burton location? All these, there was just a few handful of different things. We thought about our time with Cade in the hospital. Like, what wouldn't we have learned if we didn't go through that trial? What part of God would we have not experienced if we didn't go through that deep valley? Again, those are just handful of things. Things that we can just see. But how many billion other things is God working about to make himself known to us? To draw us closer to him? We just kept saying, man, God is the wisdom of God, the plan of God to bring about all these different things in our life, to take us to the place that we are here now, where we get to serve with so many wonderful people in Walled Lake, where we get to see God do amazing things. And I often think me here preaching the word, why am I able to do this? It's only the wisdom of God and his grace. And we just took some time to reflect on that. His wisdom is unparalleled. And I want to ask you, do you do that? Do you take a moment to just reflect on God's work in your life? Because I think in life it can be so difficult sometimes. When attacks from the enemy are coming, when things aren't going your way, when loved ones are hurting you. You know, I think sometimes when I'm not seeing fruit of the seeds that are being planted in the gospel, I get discouraged. There are some hard times in life. But do you reflect on what God has done? Do you reflect on his wisdom? It makes me think about one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 77. And I remember reading this it was a particularly tough time with our son Isaac, and I was reading through these few verses to just put my mind on the things of God, his wisdom, and how he works. But I love these verses because it calls me to reflect on what God has done in this world and how he's able to overcome in any situation that I'm in. But Psalm 77, starting in verse 7, it says this: will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. And what a beautiful thing to just reflect on how God has moved in the world. Again, we're thinking about bringing praise and glory to God. Think about your life. There are so many different things that may have seemed bad in the moment or a struggle in the moment, but that God used for good. Part of some of the truth we talked about in Romans, right? Romans 8:28. He works all things together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Remember, Paul's reflecting on of what he just wrote about in Romans, the entirety of the book. How much of that book is a mystery, but how thankful we are for God to work that out in our life. Not only is his wisdom incredible, but I also think an aspect of this that is so worthy to bring praise to God is how he says that this mystery has been made known to all the nations. Sometimes there's a common misconception about Christianity that it's just a Western religion. It's just for Western, mostly white people, and if you're born into the family of Christianity, well then good for you. You found the one way to heaven. I think Paul here gives us the truth that it's not just a culture that this religion resides in. It's not just in one group of peoples or in one nation or area. He says it is for all the nations. And not only that, but he says God has made it known to all the nations the mystery of salvation that has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'll hear the rebuttal or argument against Christianity, and people will say, you know, what happens to someone if they go their whole life and never hear the gospel? And sometimes it's a fun hypothetical question you want to get into, but sometimes we just need to go to the word and read what it says. This truth has been made known to all the nations. And we just got done talking about the wisdom, power, and sovereignty of God. And whenever that question gets asked to me, I always go, I have no idea. But I'm pretty confident in my God. I'm pretty confident in the God that I serve, the God that I love, that he's able to bring this knowledge, this salvation to all the nations. And when he says it's been made known to all the nations, I trust him. And I believe him that everyone hears about this. It says, according to the command of the eternal God. He knows how to save. He knows how to bring people into a relationship with him. Another reason to bring praise and glory to God. Because for us, we can't think about the ways he's moving in Africa. Or in China, or in Russia. There's 10 billion different things that are going on in the world that God is working about to bring salvation to people. What another reason to bring praise to him? To stop and reflect and to glory in our great God. And then the third thing, he continues to say in verse 26. He says, it's to bring about the obedience of faith. So he glories in the gospel, how it strengthens us through everything. It is the truth that not only sustains us, but establishes us. It's the most important thing in our life. It should be our safe haven and our refuge in times of trouble. He goes to the wisdom of God and he brings praise to him for that. How this mystery that no one can fully understand, how it all works out. God has made it known. God has brought it in Jesus. And then he brings glory to God by saying it is him who brings about the obedience of faith. What I love about this, and particularly for me, I love this aspect of this doxology. Because it reminds me and encourages me that where the gospel is preached, people will respond by faith. And it's not because of my gospel message. Sometimes that pressure, I don't know if you've experienced this before, when you have someone that you really want to believe in Jesus. Probably a family member, right? Where you're like, I just want them to follow Jesus, to see him as beautiful as I see him. And that pressure can get put on you. How do I explain this most clear way? Right? What's the best mess? What's the illustration I need to use? What's the words that'll make it clear to them? I love these sort of verses where it goes to the sovereignty of God. Where Paul doesn't say, it's me who brings about the obedience of faith. It's according to the command of the eternal God that where the gospel is preached, simply, it's not about how eloquent we are. It's not with words of persuasion. It's simply being faithful to the gospel, proclaiming Jesus, and God is the one who will bring about that faith. I think of 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has caused us to be born again. And the way he does that is through the preaching of the gospel. And I think here Paul is telling us and reminding us, you don't need to have that pressure on you because it's not your work. Your work is not to save people. Your work is not to bring them to salvation. Your work is to bring them the news. Bring the gospel. Preach it to everyone. Take it to the world. Take it to your lost loved ones, your lost coworkers, strangers on the street. Tell them the news. But that faith that is worked out in their life, it is God's work that does that. We just need to be obedient, faithful, and trust in him. I constantly praise God for this, because I know I'm too weak to do anything of eternal significance. I know I'm too weak to do that. I'm not necessarily that persuasive. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit speaking through me, I'd have no words to say. And so I'm so thankful that according to the command of the eternal God, that it's his heart to save people. It's his heart to see people repent and believe. That according to his command, it brings about the obedience of faith. And my part in this is just to preach the gospel. He is faithful to those seeds. And he is faithful to bring about people who believe in him. It's his work, not ours. And that's why we glory in him. That's why when a lost sinner finally sees Jesus as beautiful, what do? We don't bring glory to the man that preached to them. We bring glory to the God that saved them. We don't bring glory to the evangelist that is seeing thousands of people saved at their rallies. We bring glory to God who brought those people to faith. And Paul here reflecting on the gospel, right? This Romans is the greatest treatise on the gospel. He says, praise God. According to his eternal command that brings about the obedience of faith. And then he ends it in verse 27. And he says, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. He ends it with that. To the only wise God, who is in all these amazing things, the truth of who he is, the gospel, his wisdom, his sovereignty, to him be glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. As I end this morning, I just want to ask the question. What is your heart's doxology this morning? What do you have in your life to bring praise and worship and honor to God? What has God done in your life that you need to just glory in him for a little bit? Again, I think it's good for us to have these moments of reflection, especially as we just finished Thanksgiving, hearing of some people's crazy Thanksgiving holidays of traveling around all over the place. And guess what? It's not slowing down anytime soon, right? We got Christmas coming up, shopping, don't know if you're like me. I spent like 2 hours on Amazon on Friday because I'm just like, I got to find all the best deals. But we're entering a busy season. All the different parties we have going on, all the different ministries we have going on. It's going to be very, very busy. But we need to slow down and reflect for a little bit. I would encourage you, during this season, slow down. What do you have to be thankful to God for? Right? What in your life, what's your heart's doxology where you just need to bring praise and glory to God? As I mentioned, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to reflect on the coming of Christ. Maybe it's that. Maybe the last few Christmas seasons, you haven't fully thought about the idea that Jesus Christ came to the world. Maybe you just need to take some time this next month and just reflect on the coming of Jesus. Or maybe for you this morning, you hear the gospel and you know in your heart what you do with the gospel, what you believe. Maybe you'd say, you know what, I've never done what Romans 10:9 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe this morning for you, you've never made that decision. And hearing the gospel, you can start that today. Your doxology in your heart can start this morning where you can go now to him who has saved a wretch like me. Now to him who opened my blind eyes, softened my hard heart, and brought me to faith in him. This morning, that worship and praise and glory can start. Maybe for you, you have believed. And this morning, you can continue that praise and worship and say, now to him who sustains and strengthens me every day through the gospel. Knowing that the only way you can get through the day and the only way you can know your forgiveness is by running back to the gospel. Maybe you need to continue that praise and worship. Maybe for you, trials, suffering, right? The holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas are hard for you. You've lost loved ones. Or maybe family members don't come around anymore and you're struggling. Even in the midst of valleys and trials, you can have a doxology in your heart. And you can say, now to him who provides the grace to get through anything, I praise him. I think it's so important for us to not only feel it in our heart, but to express it. And that's my challenge for you this morning. Maybe it's to a loved one. I would encourage you, I wrote a doxology this morning. We're going to end with it. I would encourage you, spend some time this week. Type out a doxology in an email and send it to me. I would love to hear the ways that you want to bring glory and worship and praise to God. But tell it to someone. Let that praise out. Because I think about this quote from C.S. Lewis, where he says, "It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed." And the same is true for our relationship with God. It's the reason why praise and worship and glorying in him is so important, because that feeling we have for God is incomplete until it's expressed. When it is expressed with shouts of praise, no matter how it sounds, or what the words are, that's when that praise is brought to its completion, its fruition. So I would encourage you, tell it to someone this morning. Email me it this week. Text me it. I would love to hear what your heart's praise and worship to God is. And so for me, what I feel like my heart's doxology was this week, and I am not going to sing it, so we're only going to talk these words out, not using the hymn part of it. "But now to him who supplies strength in my many weaknesses and lavished blessings on me I didn't deserve, who has overcome all of my shortcomings and allows me to participate in the work of the gospel, to the only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to him be glory and honor and power forever. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you this morning for allowing us to slow down and to reflect on you, to bring praise and worship and glory to you. And I pray this morning for everyone in here that in the midst of this busy season, with all the things they got to plan and the gifts they got to buy and the places they got to go, that they would take some time to reflect on you. What do they have to bring glory to you, Lord? Reveal it to their heart and allow their faith to be strengthened through it and through the gospel. Lord, we love you and praise all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, we got the chance to go partake of communion together. So I just want to explain a little bit of what we do. Why do we partake of communion? What's the purpose of it? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I would encourage us that when we do partake of communion, let us not forget the significance of what we're representing. We only got a little cracker and a little bit of juice. But what that cracker represents is the body of Christ that was broken for you. The body of Christ that went to the cross and was nailed there, beaten and scourged and mocked for you. Where the wrath of God was poured out on him so that we could be saved. And that juice represents his blood that was poured out for everyone. That was poured out to secure our salvation, to secure our forgiveness. These elements we have, sure, they may be small, but they represent something so amazing. They represent how we have been forgiven of everything because of Jesus and what he did. He says, do this in remembrance of me. But as he tells us to reflect on what Jesus did, he also gives us some warnings. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So this morning where you're at, before you partake, spend some time in prayer with the Lord. I always encourage during this time of communion, ask the Spirit to search your heart. What sins do you need to confess to him? What do you need to repent of? Maybe you've been doing something recently that you know the Lord doesn't want you to do, and you need to just bring it to him. Lay it down at his feet. There is forgiveness that is offered to you. Again, maybe for you, you've never accepted the gospel. You've never believed. But this morning, you want to partake of communion and receive what Jesus did for you. There's a song that I think I shared it last time, but I just love it so much when it comes to communion. It says, you were laid out on the table, broken like bread, poured out like wine. All that you give, we receive. So this morning, reflect on that and receive fully what Jesus did for you. Or even if you have an issue with a brother or sister in Christ, now is the time to reflect on that and to go to them. Seek forgiveness. Be right with them. And then partake. So just a second, they're going to pass out the elements. You're going to get two cups, the crackers on the bottom and the juice. Spend some time at your seat and pray. and ask the Spirit to search you out. And then what we'll do is we'll sing a song, I'll come back up on stage and we'll partake of communion together as a body of believers. We'll do the cracker first and then the juice. So let me pray real quick. Lord, we love you. And I thank you for what you did for us on the cross. Help us to remember you this morning, to trust in you, to believe in you. And I pray for any heart in here, Lord, that if there's a sin they need to confess, if there's a brother or sister they need to go to, or if they need to start salvation today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would make it clear to their heart. God, we love you, we praise you. I praise all in the very precious name of Jesus Christ.